The Jewish Hour is now on Stitcher. Listen to us on your iPhone, Android, BlackBerry, or Palm. Find it in your app store or at Stitcher.com. Stitcher, smart radio, the smarter way to listen to radio. Welcome to the Jewish Hour. I'm your host, Herschel Finman. We've got a great show for you. Thank you for tuning in. We hope you had a wonderful Shavuos last week and didn't gain too much weight. I suppose that's an oxymoron, knowing what Shavuos is all about. In this half hour, we will be interviewing Chana Finman, the Jewish Hour's own, and we'll be talking about what's doing in Jewish and touristy in Philadelphia. Wonderful place, if I do say so myself. We got lots of really nice music for you. This is thank God, the a cappella era has passed, and we have new CDs that we're going to play for you, so stay tuned. These have never been aired ever before on any radio station everywhere. I can guarantee it. Fresh, hot stuff. We have the portion of Behalosecha, which is in the book of Numbers, chapter 8 and following. We've got a really cool story at the end of the hour. Don't go away for that. But before we do anything else, let's go right to the news. And of course, the really big story in Israel, which I'm not really reporting about, was that Madonna had a concert in Ramat Gan Stadium, and it was sold out to 60,000 screaming fans, but I'm not reporting about that. But I am reporting 4 terrorists were killed and 4 were wounded by an IDF strike while trying to shoot rockets into southern Gaza. The escalation comes on the heels of a pre-dawn gunfight at the Gaza security fence with a terrorist believed to have been sent to abduct a soldier, which left 1 soldier and 1 terrorist dead. Islamic Jihad claimed responsibility for the attacks. 2 American tourists were kidnapped in Sinai on Thursday. Their names have not been yet released. Egyptian security forces said the pair appeared to have been taken by members of a local tribe in reprisal for the arrest of a drug dealer. Members of the tribes have already approached journalists and issued a call for the release of the drug dealer, among their other demands. A group of 11 minors were charged with organizing and carrying out a series of attacks against Sudanese and Eritrean immigrants in Tel Aviv. Violence against Africans has escalated in South Tel Aviv in the past few months. Israel's latest census shows that nearly 25% of South Tel Aviv residents are African immigrants. Israel turned over the bodies of 91 terrorists to Palestinian officials. The remains of 80 Palestinian terrorists, which had been buried in an Israeli military cemetery in the West Bank, were turned over to the Palestinian Authority in the West Bank. Another 11 bodies were repatriated to Hamas in the Gaza Strip. Returning the bodies is being called a goodwill gesture to Palestinian Authority President Mahmoud Abbas. Iranians, did you hear about this one? Iranian security experts report a virus far more dangerous than the Stuxnet worm that has struck the country's computer system 2 years ago. Dubbed the Flame, the virus is one that has struck not only Iran, but 16 other countries termed enemies of Israel. This virus is capable of, among other things, of turning a computer's webcam and broadcasting what happens in the room and eavesdropping on what's going on. Israel, of course, has denied any responsibility for the Flame virus. In other news, Yuri Blau, a reporter for the Israeli daily Haaretz, was charged with unauthorized possession of secret army documents that had great potential for damaging Israel's security, quote-unquote. Blau received and published 1,516 secret military documents stolen by then-clerk Anat Kam, as reported here in the Jewish Hour many years ago, from the IDF Central Command Headquarters. Here's some good news for you, for you people into commuting. Israel's Highway 6 is being extended to just north of Beersheba. The extension is likely to encourage more people to move to the area. Israeli governments have long sought ways to encourage Jews to settle in this area in the south, and Highway 6, along with the extension of Israel's railways to Beersheba, have fueled numerous housing projects in the settlements. The new highway will cut travel between Tel Aviv and Beersheba to just under an hour. This is something that people would like change their oil for and take lunch with to go from Beersheba to Tel Aviv. Some good news for the consumers, not necessarily good news for the farmers. I've been waiting this for a while. The price of olive oil dropped to its lowest level in decades, and farmers in the Middle East are bearing the brunt as Spain and Italy dump their government-subsidized oils at below cost. I've been watching olive oil for, like, ever go from, like, $6 for a 3-liter can to, like, $15 a liter in some places. You know, and I'm just waiting for it to go back. Anyway, the price of oil fell, olive oil fell to about $2,900 per ton. That's a lot of oil. From about half of the peak price of $5,800 in 2006. And in sporting news, Israeli grandmaster Boris Gelfand lost a tiebreaker in a title match of the World Chess Championship in Moscow. Five-time world champion Viswanath Anand of India defeated Gelfand 2.5 to 1.5 in a four-game rapid chess tiebreaker on Wednesday. They had finished a 12-game championship match in a stalemate. Why would they make a thing if they want to have somebody do a best of an even number? Why don't they just make it 13 or 11? Anyway, Anand will take home $1.5 million. The loser, Gelfand, will only take home $1 million. And that's the news.
You know the best place to buy fruit and vegetables? Why, it's at Fruitasia. Located on Southfield Road, just south of the 13 Mile, Fruitasia provides quality, value, and the most wonderful environment to shop. You'll enjoy the spacious aisles, excellent selection, great prices, and friendly staff at Fruitasia on Southfield Road and 13 Mile.
Herschel Finman here. You're listening to The Jewish Hour. We are on live with the Jewish Hour's own Chana Finman. How are you today, Chana?
Thank God, well, Herschel, husband and radio host.
Thank you so much.
Venerable rabbi.
Venerable, yes. I don't know if my beard's long enough for that. But how long does your beard have to be before you can be considered venerable?
Anyway. You can't trip on it. Then you're not venerable anymore.
Okay, fine.
You have to tie it up a little bit.
Yes, if you can trip on your beard, you're vulnerable. So,
Mr. Natural.
Yeah, okay. I'm not going there. Anyway, let's get down a little business over here. You recently in Philadelphia, things are happening in the city of brotherly love. And you like to travel, and you like to travel, of course, and doing it kosher. So let's hear about some kosher Philadelphia. What's the burgeoning news?
Kosher Philly. Well, yes, as you know, I do love to travel, and I do love art, and I do love Judaism, and I love people. And you kind of put it all together, and then I have this kind of this blog that I don't have. This is the blog.
Okay. It's an audio blog. What's, you know, hey.
What does blog mean? Who invented the word blog?
I don't know.
Like a creature from the outer space.
Yes, the blog that ate Cleveland. There have been some pretty consuming blogs out there, too, I guess, you know.
Yeah, I'm not a blogger, but I am a schlepper. Does that count?
Okay, we can call it the schlep.
The schlep. I schlep. So, yeah. So there's always, in a nutshell, you know, a little bit of time on the show, and I always want to share things that might help your listeners, because I'm not the only person traveling. I'm not the only person going to Philadelphia. Philadelphia is a big place in my heart because, really, that's where I'm from. I'm like a fourth-generation displaced Philadelphian, and I love the city. In comparison to Detroit here, Detroit is a struggling city, and Philadelphia is not a struggling city. You know, it's a city that's booming all over the place. It's alive. It's a walkability city. Has its problems once you get out of the center of the city, but being in center city is a great joy. And for a Jewish traveler who keeps kosher, it's an easy city. There's kosher restaurants in the downtown area, which make all the difference in the world.
Especially if you're hungry.
Yeah, well, there's nothing like it. You know, I've slept at some absolutely beautiful places in the world where there were no kosher restaurants. And to keep, you know, a little cracker and a piece of candy in your pocketbook works for a while. But the luxury, the beauty of being able to plop down, there's three restaurants in the downtown area, all in walking distance to just about everything, is there's kosher.org, which stands for organic. It's a broad kosher franchise.
Burger.org?
Yes. Kosher.org, yeah. And it's all very reasonably priced and delicious, fresh, organic food. And when I say organic food, I don't mean tofu. I mean turkey, lamb, beef, chicken, kebabs, burgers, whatever, and fries and salads. Very nice.
Right. Burger.org actually has two locations in Philadelphia, correct?
Yes, they do. And I went to the other one in Atlantic City. I was just eating all over the place. And then there's a vegetarian place that everybody adores called Mama's, which was rated and all those, you know, rating things. They have them all over the walls in there. It's been one of the best places in the city. It's a little dive. I mean, it's just a small little place run by Israelis.
It's clean, though.
Very clean, but the best, the most fresh food. The falafel, the breads are freshly made every day. It's Israeli-style, quick food, fast food, and it's always packed. So you can get stuff to go, and there you are. You know, it's you can feel like a mensch.
There you go.
While seeing the great sights of Philadelphia, which is, of course, everything from the Liberty Bell to Carpenter's Hall, where the Declaration of Independence was figured out and hammered out, and you can enjoy old Philadelphia, but what I went for in this particular trip was new Philadelphia, and I'll let you
new think new Philadelphia.
Yeah, new.
Yeah, it actually did make the Detroit newspapers over here with the opening of the new art museum there. So tell us about that, please, Hannah Finman.
Well, this is extraordinary. In our day and age, where money's tight in every city, to make a $20 million facility, okay, in the most beautiful section of the city, which there is called the Benjamin Franklin Parkway, which is a beautiful parkway designed by a fellow named Cret, C-R-E-T, who did this kind of a, you know, Greco-Roman classicist architecture in the turn of the last century, and we have our DIA is of that. We did that.
Mm-hmm.
So in Philadelphia, this parkway was designed by this architecture as well as some of the museums there. So it's very European feeling, very empire-ish feeling as you're walking there, tree-lined, beautiful buildings on your right and on your left, and gorgeous fountains. And here you have plunk a new, very beautiful $20 million art museum, when most art museums are struggling to stay open in the world, mm-hmm. like here in Detroit.
What's this museum called?
This is the Barnes Foundation. What is that? The Barnes Foundation is kind of a weird, cool place that started by a man named Albert C. Barnes. He was born in a working-class neighborhood in Philadelphia in 1872. And he made some crazy antiseptic called something like Agri-Rol, and it became the basis of his fortune. And he eventually bought property. He eventually began to collect art. And that's what the story is really all about in the 20s. We're talking about someone who was maybe a little eccentric, which was only to our benefit, became a passionate art collector. But that's what people with money did then.
Mm-hmm. I mean, how much art could one person collect already?
Well, according to the press packet that I received, there's really thousands of objects. There's almost 1,000 paintings.
1,000 paintings? This guy must have had some house.
Objects of craft. He was fascinated with a group of German immigrants called Moravian. These Moravians were craftspeople who created tile and clay they used indigenous clays of Pennsylvania, and they made redware, it's called. They had ironworks. They made tools. There's furniture they made, like chests that you store things in with folk art design on it. But he also collected illuminated manuscripts. He also collected, Greek art, Egyptian art, African art. And then his true love, because of his friend, Mr. Glackens, who is one of the great American painters, the Ashcan School.
Oh, the Ashcan School, of course.
Right. There was a show here in the DIA a few years ago where they had a lot of Glackens. Glackens is always displayed at the DIA. You can go down and look at Glackens. But Glackens was his friend from school, and he helped him buy art in France. At the turn, you know, in the 1920s and 30s. So, of course, he bumps into Leo Stein, also one of the great collectors of modern art. Gertrude Stein is his sister.
Oh, we know all about Gertrude Stein, yes.
We know about Gertrude Stein. A rose is a rose is a rose.
Right.
But there's a love, not, it's kind of hard to understand now, a great love and respect for aesthetics that Leo Stein shares with this Mr. Barnes. And their love for aesthetic, which was changing from, you know, big, pompous, you know, kind of manor house, fill up the wall art of all your rich ancestors and show off your gold frames and your luxury, to different sensibility, a folk art sensibility, an art which they both believed was the art of the future. And what Barnes wanted to do was to have the average person understand what this new modern art, Picasso, Matisse, Cézanne, Renoir, what all of these artists could teach people, the average people. So he had this stuff in his factory for people to see. And because he came from a working class origin, he really wanted to share and teach. That was his motivation. So he buys this gorgeous property, and he has this beautiful arboretum. And the thing is, it's open to the public, but it's only open for like a couple hours a week. And you have to make reservations. And it's a pain in the neck to get to. And the neighborhood, even the neighbors picket on the sidewalk because they don't want people to be coming in such droves to see this great collection. They're angry, in other words. So it's a contentious place to Barnes. For 50 years, until about 10 years ago, a bunch of people had a lot of money and a lot of power in Philadelphia, got together and decided enough is enough, you're going to create a new building to house this world-class collection so people can come from all over the world to Philadelphia and enrich Philadelphia at the same time. There is more of this kind of impressionist and post-impressionist, really, post-impressionist, modernist, post-modern work in Philadelphia than there is in Paris. And by
really?
And large, mostly French artists.
Really?
Yep.
Mostly French artists. That make, well, everything's better imported, right?
Right. But where I start jumping up and down and getting all kooky is when I see something Jewish. And
was there Jewish stuff in the Barnes?
Yes.
Pardon my little up there on the voice. I'm actually quite surprised. That
well, there's a couple of faves I have in terms of post-impressionist and getting into the modern spirit of things. You cannot... I mean, I get, like, all excited talking about Chaim Soutine. And you can go to the library and take out books that are in every library in the art section about, or go on the line, Chaim Soutine, and find out about him. Because here's an artist who is painting like nobody else. And Barnes collects almost, I think, I talked to the curator of paintings. She said there were 25 Soutines in the collection. And they're all interspersed in these beautiful rooms. When they made the new museum, they made it to exact micronic measurements of what the old Barnes had on its walls. They just reproduced it, improved the lighting, cleaned everything up. Not, they didn't necessarily like clean the paintings to make them look more alive. They just had them lit with the most state-of-the-art lighting under the sun.
Including some sun, yes.
Yeah, yeah. It has supposed to have an Arcadian quality. So the architect, who I had a lovely chance to converse with Todd Williams and Billy Stein, world-class architects, and they created a space that would include wind built with the treetops outside, because everything is in the idea of what Mr. Barnes intent, the whole place. It's just all over the place. His intent is regarded with a great respect, I would say awe. And they didn't just replicate the old Barnes. They created a better Barnes. There's classrooms there. It's written into their credo that they will have free access for poor inner city kids to come to the Barnes to look at this art. And they have controlled timings. They have to call in advance because they only want a few people in the gallery room. Some of the rooms are really small. And the objects are just sitting there. So they have people coming in a controlled way. You can't just show up there and see the Barnes. You have to call in advance, and they'll give you a time ticketing. And when you're finished, you can walk over to Mama's or burger.org and have some lunch if you care to eat kosher. Otherwise, there is a restaurant there, and they might have a couple of kosher things in the restaurant, but I have the menu in front of me, and you'd have to be careful. But if you keep kosher, you don't have to walk far to have a nice lunch afterwards. There's a patio there. You could bring something yourself and just sit out on the patio.
That is so cool.
Get a soda from the soda fountain.
Yeah, this time you didn't go to the New Jewish Museum, but you have been there. So let's spend a couple of minutes with that, if you don't mind.
Oh, sure. Because I do frequent museums. The American, how does it go, Herschel? The Jewish Museum of American History.
Yes, the National Jewish Museum of American History of Philadelphia, yes. Located on Independence Mall.
In one breath.
If the poor receptionist that has to do that every time she answers the phone.
Right. Well, it's not a long name. It was made with the great, great new architect doing great international high-class work. And it's very powerful, the buildings themselves, between the Barnes. Oh, by the way, the Barnes, there's a lot of Lipschitz, this great sculptor who's Jewish. And there was another Jewish painter whose name just slips my mind, which I'll be upset about later. But, so there's Jewish art within the Barnes. Going back to the Jewish Museum, there's a great love of history, of course, in Philadelphia. The birth of our country really came from Philadelphia. It's where the conversations took place, in the taverns and coffee houses, and all the greats lived there. And there were Jewish people in those times, had a great influence on George Washington. What was the quote, Herschel, that George Washington said? Give prejudice no sanction.
Okay.
You know? That quote is in this Jewish History Museum. And as a Jew, that makes you put your hand on your heart when you read that and tears come to your eye. Because this was a place of refuge. And it honors that this was truly, the United States was a place of refuge for Polish Jews, for Russian Jews, for German Jews, for Jews from every place on the planet. If they were lucky enough that their ancestors made a decision in the right slim time. And that's what you really feel when you come to the museum. It's just these windows would open up of immigration, and you were lucky if your great-great-grandfather or great-great-grandmother, you know what I mean? Could smell the whiff of danger and would leave at great peril.
So let's talk about the museum.
So it starts with Stuyvesant, Peter Stuyvesant, who manages the, New York, what was called New Amsterdam, and he's an anti-Semite, and it deals with that. So Jews weren't welcome right away. You get that right away. But because of there were Jews involved at the trading companies, he was told to let them here.
Anything about Christopher Columbus that's come up lately? Is Christopher Columbus Jewish?
It's been around a long time.
Yeah, that roars. Raises its hoary head every once in a while. And there's like new evidence that yes, indeed, Christopher Columbus was Jewish.
Well, I always credit his cartographer to be Jewish because that was
Yeah, the guy gave me directions. He was the one who knew that you wouldn't fall off the end of the earth because Jews have never believed that the world is flat. Yes.
Well, yeah, and then the thing with all of that is you just can't get around the fact that in 1492 there's this great expulsion from Spain with Isabel and Ferdinand, and then 1492 is when they get on the boat. So, you know. But the fact remains that the New World did open up, and Jews came, and in that museum, it covers everything from Jews going out west in covered wagons to Jews emigrating to New York in a big wave in the 1880s. And the part that I really identified with the most was at the end when it showed all the movements that Jews were involved in once they were comfortable in America, the women's movement, the peace movement, because that more represents my life and my experience, not my great-grandparents. And just hearing the music and seeing the films really got me. However, I must say, you start at the top floor of that museum, and you go winding around, and you see all the years, you know, coming towards the future, very beautifully arranged. But when you get to the bottom, there is a punch that I loved at the Jewish Museum.
Before you get to the punch, how about like religious organizations and movements?
Yeah, they're all covered. They have the menu from the first Reform big dinner powwow of the Reform movement in America, where they deliberately have, pardon me, every item on the menu is not just not kosher, but it's blatantly not kosher because they were making a huge statement. So there's lobster, Newburgh, and, you know, they really get into the ham and they get in, you know, and it's just so shocking in our eyes because, you know. And then they also have great leadership, rabbinical leadership mentioned, and how rites of passage are done all through the times and where the leadership was and what the contentious problems were, because there always were struggles in that arena as well. So, yeah, everything's pretty represented along the way. And it's fun because it's like our story. You know, I'll go to a great museum in Europe and see the Caravaggios and all of the fantastic Italian art and whatever. But it's not my story. In the Jewish Museum in Philadelphia, the American Jewish History Museum, it's you find yourself in the story. And it's kind of nice. So I found myself at the very end because they have a huge wraparound screen, and you're sitting on a bench, and you look up, and you see fragment pieces of great leaders in American Jewish history. So you have Einstein, and, you know, you have the great writers, and you have the great playwrights, and Irving Berlin, and, you know, the people, Leonard Bernstein, you know. And the last one was Lubavitcher Rebbe.
How do you like that?
And the way they did it was, for me, very, very personal. Like, I found myself in a museum where you're huge, like 4 foot high, you know, 20 foot long screen. And so they had one of the Rebbe's talks for Brigham's gatherings in Crown Heights, where I attended those for many years. And so they had the Rebbe in this sort of sea of men in their black caftans and their beards and whatnot. And the Rebbe turns around and kind of looks at you, because he was looking at someone who was filming this, and they had this film. And you're sitting there, and you feel like, well, the Rebbe was sort of the rabbi who got into the business of everybody's spiritual place and heart in the world. He felt that he was that kind of a leader, not just his own flock, but the world. And you feel this connection. And for me, that was a very personal statement to end my tour of that museum.
That's great.
So, if you do go, if you're lucky enough to go to Philadelphia,
there's plenty of things to do, I hear.
Yeah, well, I'm very enthusiastic. I'm waving the flag. There, of course, there's more and more and more, but you have to find it yourself by just exploring around. And very friendly city, and very what's the word?
I don't know.
You'll find, if you get to Philadelphia, say this summer, for a little vacation, it's not going to Europe, and it's a lot cheaper, but you'll find wonders there that are on par with any of the great museums in Europe. You don't have to go to Paris to see great modern art and post-impressionist art. Go to the Barnes. It's worth it.
Okay, great. That's wonderful. We have to wrap things up. We got to get moving along. We're done with this section. Thank you so much for sharing with us about this. We've been talking with Hannah Finman, co-producer of The Jewish Hour, and my wife, of course, Kosher Philadelphia. There is no website, I don't think, called Kosher Philadelphia. I'm going to look that up. But by the way, blog, we started out at the beginning of the show, is a combination of the words weblog. So if you say it fast enough, you drop off the W-E, you get weblog, weblog, blog is how the word blog came up.
Well, okay. I'm just an old school person, but I thank you for letting me share this, Herschel, and I hope you get some feedback that somebody listening gets to Great Philadelphia this summer and gets what I'm talking about.
Okay, great. That's going to do us. I'm looking forward to some lunch as soon as we get done with the show. I'll be home for lunch. Thank you so much. We got to take a quick commercial break, and we'll be right back. You're listening to The Jewish Hour.
The Art Studio of Oak Park is now accepting students. Whether you're a real beginner or have been at it for a lifetime, the Art Studio of Oak Park is something for you. All levels welcome, all ages welcome. Private tutoring or small friendly classes. Flexible hours available. The Art Studio of Oak Park is very affordable. Make your life better. Put art into your life. The Art Studio of Oak Park offers lessons in a strictly kosher environment. Call today, 248-542-5087. That's 248-542-5087. It's great having an art room right in the neighborhood.
Why go to a hospital to get healthy? At Encompass Healthcare, you get the state-of-the-art wound care like in a hospital. The same medicines, the same everything without being in a hospital. Why put yourself at risk of getting a hospital-borne infection? Did you know that last year, 1 in 6 people died in America because of infections they got in hospitals? Encompass Healthcare is an outpatient facility. That means you get your wound care treatment and then go home. There are no wait times at Encompass Healthcare like in ERs. Healthcare is personal and works better, faster, and easier. Encompass Healthcare provides a state-of-the-art outpatient facility close to where you live. Call 248-624-9800. That's 624-9800. Auto accident, workman's comp, and most insurance is accepted. Encompass Healthcare's goal is to get you healthy with as little disturbance to your daily activities. Call 248-624-9800.
Herschel Finman here. You're listening to The Jewish Hour. Makes you want to just get on a plane and go to Philadelphia now, doesn't it?
Yes, indeedy. Especially the idea of, like, why can't we get a burgers.org in Detroit? Man, the idea of a Lamburger right now? Mm-mm. Anyway, I promised you new music, and this is indeed some new music. This is Eighth Day. That's the name of the group. They have a piece called Shabbos Now. So let's listen to Shabbos Now now.
Shabbos now, and it will sing, ay, 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 na, 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 na,
tries to sell a little more. A penny here, a penny there. Mama cries and blows she told. My Zadie always kept a smile and wiped her tears away. Soon things will turn around. Soon we're gonna
Chiropractic healthcare offers patients the advantage of a safe and natural method of healing without the use of drugs or surgery. People of all ages, including children, benefit from chiropractic's unique approach to health. Call area code 248-557-1818 today to find out how chiropractic can benefit your family. At the Solomon Chiropractic Center, we especially love children. All kids should have their spines checked periodically throughout their crucial growing years. Growth on a crooked foundation will create a crooked spine and become harder to correct later in life. Kids love to get adjusted at the Solomon Chiropractic Center. And hey, moms, did you know that chiropractic offers a safe, drug-free approach to helping with the many pains women often get during and after pregnancy? We even have special tables which open up so pregnant women can lay on their stomachs. We treat moms, dads, children, and grandparents with arthritic pains, neck pains, back pain, and headaches. People of all ages, including kids, benefit from chiropractic. Come experience the natural method of healing without the use of drugs or surgery. Stop living in pain. Call area code 248-557-1818 today for a free consultation at the Solomon Chiropractic Center to discuss you and your family's health needs. Remember, 557-1818. That's 557-HIGH-HIGH.
Want assurance of quality and excellence in kosher? Look for the Michigan K on the label. What's it look like? The Lower Peninsula of Michigan with a K. It's the symbol of the Michigan Kosher Supervisors. Go to their website, mycosup.com. That's M-I for Michigan, K-O for kosher, and S-U-P for supervisors, mycosup.com, and find this month's featured products. You'll find Michigan K products wherever fine food is sold, especially at Natural Food Patch on West 9 Mile Road in Ferndale.
Harry Schulfenman here. You are listening to the Jewish Hour. About 4 months ago, I got an email from somebody who contacted me on rabbifinman.com. Wanted to know if I know what had become of singer-songwriter Yehuda Glantz. He's originally from Argentina, now lives in Israel. One of my first all-ever CDs that I got was from Yehuda Glantz. It was, he had this song, Na la na la na la na la na la la bit amigdash. Anyway, which he sang in this Spanish-Hebrew accent. It was fantastic. He would do like 16-part harmony with different tracks and then play all the instruments. And just he was here and did a concert, I don't know, maybe 15 years ago, and then fell off the edge of the earth, as we say, since we're talking about Columbus. Well, I'm happy to say that Mr. Yehuda Glantz has indeed come out with a brand new CD. Here I have it, just freshly de-shrink-wrapped. Yes, indeedy. I love the smell of that fresh plastic. And we're going to listen to it right now. We got a piece for you. This is called Jerusalem, My Life.
Caminando por senderos que me llevan a lugares esperados de bondad. Fueron los momentos perdidos que encontraba los que guían mi camino al andar, al andar. Jerusalem, my life. Jerusalem. Jerusalem, mi corazón. Jerusalem of love. Jerusalem of peace. Jerusalem, su luz. Jerusalem, mi corazón. Todo tiene aquí fuerza, vivencias y armonía, creándose un bello color. Lágrimas, rezos, plegarias y alegrías, risas, danzas llenas de emoción. El brillo que irradia de toda esta oscuridad descubren mi armonía y libertad. Como la llama encendida alumbrando mi alma y tu alma y de toda nuestra humanidad.
This is Frank Lovasco with Lovasco Concrete Services. We specialize in driveways and patios. You can call me at 586-822-9985.
Herr Schulfen, and here you're listening to The Jewish Hour. This is a new group. This is another piece of music. This is called Sheer Klezmer is the name of the band. They have the name of the record is called Ashkefard, which is an amalgam. There actually is a word when you take two words, like Ashkenazi and Sephardi, and you come up with a word like Ashkefard. It's called a portmanteau, as a matter of fact. So it's this amalgam of klezmer and Ladino. Now, they don't actually do any klezmer songs with Ladino words or vice versa. They just have some klezmer songs and they have some Ladino songs. What's Ladino, you might be asking? Ladino is Judeo-Spanish, is the best that I can say it. Jews lived in Spain for about 800 years before the expulsion. And as is the case wherever Jews went, they always seem to have developed their own language. In Arabic countries, it's Judeo-Aramaic. In Aramaic-speaking countries, there was this Judeo-Aramaic. When the Jews lived in Chaldea, they didn't speak proper Chaldean. They spoke Judean. Chaldean, Judeo-Aramaic, which is Aramaic mixed with Hebrew. And there always seems to get these Hebrew things, you know, idioms mixed into it. And there's also the Hebrew inflection. It's written in Hebrew letters. And, of course, they always speak with their hands. So in Central Europe, it was called Yiddish, and which means Jewish, simply. That the word Yiddish means Jewish. And in Spain and Italy, Portugal, it was called Ladino, coming from the word Latin, like Latino, yes. So this is Jewish Latin, you might say. And Jews have, there's still a pockets around the world of Jews who speak Ladino. So we have for you, this is a Ladino Jewish song called Quando el Rey Nimrod, where there's a conversation going on between the patriarch Abraham and Nimrod, who wants to throw him into the furnace. Let's listen in to Sheer Klezmer.
Rosalía, miraba en el cielo y en la estrería, vi una luz santa en la judería que había de nacer. Abraham Avinu, padre querido, padre bendito, luz de Israel. Abraham Avinu, padre querido, padre bendito, luz de Israel. Mujer de tierra, quedó premiada, de día en día le preguntaba, ¿de qué tenés la cara tan demudada? Ella ya sabía el bien que tenía. Abraham Avinu, padre querido, padre bendito, luz de Israel.
Some of the best jobs in the world are in the radio and television industry, and you too can join the workforce in as little as 8 months when you complete your hands-on training at the Specs Howard School of Broadcast Arts located in Southfield, Michigan. At Specs Howard School, students get to play and learn at the same time. Imagine spending your class time behind the microphone, spinning music and hosting your own radio show, or designing and lighting a set for your own TV program, running a camera, learning to edit, directing a program. When you go to Specs, your day will be anything but dull. And if school is this fun, imagine how exciting it is to work in the growing industry. In addition, the credits you earn while attending Specs Howard School are currently accepted at 14 area colleges and universities. If you've always wanted the best job in the world, call for a tour of Specs Howard School at 248-358-9000. That's 248-358-9000. Or visit them on the web at specshoward.edu. Specs Howard School of Broadcast Arts. This is where you start.
Do you know the best place to buy fruit and vegetables? Why, it's at Fruitasia. Located on Southfield Road, just south of the 13 Mile, Fruitasia provides quality, value, and the most wonderful environment to shop. You'll enjoy the spacious aisles, excellent selection, great prices, and friendly staff at Fruitasia on Southfield Road and 13 Mile.
Herschel Finman here. You're listening to the Jewish Hour. This week's portion is the portion of Bahalosecha. It's one of the hardest parsha's names to say. Let's all do it together. Bahalosecha. We're not going to go into what that means because it's not neither here nor there, and we're here, not there. It is found in the book of Numbers, chapter 8 and following. We're going to analyze, in brief, chapter 9, verse 22. And this verse, it seems somewhat innocuous, just a verse. It's talking about the Jews when they were camped in the desert, and it says if they stayed there for days or months or years, the cloud would stay in its place over the sanctuary, and the Jews would camp there, and they wouldn't go until it lifted up, the cloud lifted up, and it left. Okay, so now, let's talk about this. Let's put this into modern times. Jews believe Mashiach is going to come when? Today, right now. We're all going to go off to the promised land. The third temple is going to be built. We're going to be offering sacrifices. The world is going to be perfect. Everything's going to be just great. And I honestly, personally myself, I believe that. I believe that sometime before the end of the show, we'll get the call that Mashiach is here and the wings of silver birds will be transporting us through the skies, which now we can understand that that means an airplane, and we'll be in Jerusalem by this evening. No problemo, as we say. So if that's the case, why do I need to buy life insurance? I know I'm not, you know, and when Mashiach comes, nobody dies anymore. So do I need to buy life insurance then? Do I need to make plans for, like, tomorrow? Maybe I should just wake up today and I'll live moment by moment, for example. And because Mashiach is coming right now. The answer lies in this week's portion. Because I don't want to say, nah, okay, there's your belief and then there's what you got to do in the world. Because we're pragmatists. No, that's not. Because what that does is it's saying there's what I believe and then there's what I do. And in Judaism, if you're going to talk the talk, you got to walk the walk. Pardon my jargon. Because you could ask the question over here. Okay, they stayed in Kadesh Barnea for 19 years. And I understand that it was necessary to erect the sanctuary in the desert, which took quite literally hundreds of man hours. They have thousands of men. So it took just a matter of maybe an hour or less to assemble this thing. But it took hundreds of man hours to assemble this sanctuary in the desert. And another probably hundreds to disassemble it. So if they stayed there in a place they're going to be for 19 years, that's fine. But they never knew how long they were staying. And they were told, it's all up to God. And there were times when they would put up got to a place in the evening. They put up the sanctuary. They did the morning sacrifice. God said, okay, let's go. We got to roll. They packed the whole thing up, bada bing, bada boom, into the wagons, and we're rolling. Why? For all of that, just for it to be for a couple of hours. And the short answer is because that's what the way God wanted it to be. This was all according al pi Hashem. Is the way the verse says. It's all according to the dictates of God. And so which means that when we're living this moment right now, we're living it the way that God wants us to live it. And that means that we have to do it in such a way expecting normal things to occur. Because that's the way God designed it. Yes, Mashiach is coming right now. But right now, in this nanosecond before Mashiach comes, or even smaller, I have to live the way that God is now wanting me to live, which means I have to buy life insurance, which, God willing, should be my worst investment ever. I have to make plans. What am I going to do this afternoon? What am I going to do in the next 5 weeks? What am I going to do in the next 10 years? I have to do all of that because I'm living the way God wants me to live. We got to take a quick commercial break and we'll be right back. You're listening to the Jewish Hour.
This is Jim Hiller. At Hiller's, we support all things Michigan, which is why we support the Jewish Hour.
Hi, this is Specs Howard from the Specs Howard School of Broadcast Arts. We're happy to sponsor the Jewish Hour and bring quality radio programming to the community. While much of the funding for the Jewish Hour comes from its sponsors, it's listeners like you that help keep the Jewish Hour on the air. Please send your tax-deductible donation to the Jewish Hour, 14,000 West 9 Mile Road, Oak Park, Michigan, 48237. That's 14,000 West 9 Mile Road, Oak Park, Michigan, 48237. Your help is greatly appreciated.
Herschel Finman, you're listening to the Jewish Hour. Time is running out now. We're in our last minute. If you want to get in touch with me, the way to do that, RabbiFinman.com, RabbiFinman.com. You'll find archived editions of the show. You'll find the U-Parsha, the E-Parsha. These are insights into the Torah in both text and video form. The very important donations page. It's June, which means we haven't paid the bill yet. We need your help. The Jewish Hour does have sponsors, but it could not exist without listeners like yourself. So go to the Rabbi Finman. Go to the donations page. Click on the number of your choice. Pay with PayPal. Absolutely 100% secure. God will love you. I will love you. All the listeners out there in Radio Land will love you. And you'll love yourself, too. So do it today before you finish that bagel, as the case may be. If you're driving, wait till you get home. That's going to do it. I want to thank you for tuning in. We hope we had a chance to entertain you a bit. We hope we had a chance to educate you a bit. We hope you have a great week, and we hope to see you again back again next week. Take care.
Is your marriage everything it should be? Hi, this is Pastor Chris. Join us at Love Worth Fighting For with Kirk Cameron and the amazing worship of Warren Barfield on Friday, June 8th.